Hi, this is Eric Casta with Global Reach Ministries and Four Smiles Productions. I want to thank you for taking time to tune into this podcast. I believe that God has a word of encouragement for you today. Now let's get to the message. Well, we've been studying the book of Acts, the gifts and the operations of God, and this is the third intro, and we're going to talk about these operations of the Holy Spirit in the ministry of Jesus. Now, before we get to the keynote passage, let's take a look at Matthew chapter 3. It's very important to understand Matthew chapter 3, and the Bible says this in verse 11. John the Baptist is speaking. Now, John the Baptist is working under a word of God's wisdom. He is speaking out concerning the plans and the purposes of God. And he says this, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you." Now, this is very powerful. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, the word baptism simply means to dunk or to soak, like a person taking you and dipping you into a river and then pulling you back up. You are saturated in water. In this case, you're going to be saturated in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, what he's talking about really is an operation of the Holy Ghost. That is the operation we are in now. It's called the church age, and it is this river of power coming from the throne of God into the earth upon the church to propel the church in the preaching of the gospel, otherwise known as the Great Commission. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit is the power of the Great Commission. You cannot separate the two. God gave a commission, and then he poured his Spirit out for the preaching of the gospel. Jesus simply said, "Wait in Jerusalem until you receive power." And that word power, it's simply in the Greek, the word dunamis. And it's miracle force. That miracle working power is going to come upon you, baptize you, and you're going to be my witnesses. Now, so John the Baptist, and he is prophesying. He says, "Whose fan is in his hand, he will thoroughly purge his floor. He shall gather his wheat into the garner, and he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And then you see, Jesus comes, and then comes Jesus from Galilee to Jordan, this is verse 13, unto John to be baptized of him. John forbade him, saying, "I have need to be baptized of you, but yet you're coming to me." Jesus answered and said, "Allow it to be so, for this is needful to fulfill righteousness." Then John did it. Jesus, when he was baptized, he went up straightway out of the water, and the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now, I love this scripture because, you know, the Bible says that you have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God to receive that power of salvation. And the first person, the first voice was the voice of the Father in that baptism of the Holy Spirit, where Jesus comes up out of the water and the Holy Spirit comes upon him, and then there's a voice, "This is my Son." So I don't care what anyone says. When the voice of God says, "This is my Son," it doesn't matter what any man or any religion says about Jesus Christ. The Father has already declared, "This, Jesus Christ, is my Son. I am very pleased in him." I just love that scripture. But so Jesus is baptized in the Holy Spirit, and he lived his life dependent upon that baptism in order to accomplish the ministry that the Lord, the Father, had given him. Now, to understand this, let's go to Matthew chapter 14, and we're going to look at the operation of God in Jesus's ministry. So, Matthew chapter 14, let's begin with verse 14. Jesus's ministry was dependent on the operation of the Holy Ghost and the gifts. Remember, the Father controls the operations. The Lord is the administrator, and in this case, he is the administrator. And the Holy Spirit is the one in charge of the gifts. But all three are working together in unity. Very powerful. Verse 14, Jesus went forth, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sick. So here Jesus is, he looks at the multitude, and he's moved with this compassionate love of God towards them, and the gifts of healings come into operation. And he begins to minister to the crowd. So every good gift, every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Jesus said in John chapter 1, he said to the disciples, he said, you're going to see heaven opened, and you're going to see angels ascending and descending. So what was happening here? Jesus sees the multitude. He is so full of compassion. Heaven is open above him, and angels are coming down, and he is administrating under this gift of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of healings. I mean, he is touching them. They're touching him, and people are being healed under this power of God. I would have loved to have been the apostles or the disciples at that time. And, you know, they're watching this. They're watching Jesus, their hero. He's going in. They're throwing crippled people down. And under that operation, you're hearing bones begin to snap back into place. You see people with blind eyes. And that Jesus, just put your hands on him. And he just touches them. And their eyes pop open. Oh, it was exciting. I would have loved to have been there. Can you imagine someone with cancer or a growth or a lump, and it just falls out? Wow. Or they bring someone, he's demonized. Oh, he's tormented Jesus. And Jesus just looks at him and says, come out of him. And that demonic power has to leave that person. So these gifts of healings are in operation. So let's keep reading. Now, when it was even, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the village and buy food. Jesus says, they don't need to depart. You give them to eat. Oh, now, he is putting pressure on these disciples. He's putting pressure. He's actually training them to depend upon the power of God. Okay? They said, I think they were hem-hawing around, you know. And we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. We don't have much, Jesus. This is all we have. Jesus says, bring them to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Looking up to heaven, he blessed and he broke and he gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. They did all eat. They were filled. They took up the fragments that remained, 12 basketfuls. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children. So here Jesus, he's operating under the gifts of healings. And all of a sudden, boy, we notice a lot of time has, transpired. And we need to eat something. Send these people away. Now, that's kind of like religion. Religion says, now go away. You've been here long enough. You know, religion really doesn't like people. It likes to control people, but after a while, it wants people to leave empty. And we see that in the scriptures many, many times over. Jesus says, no, you guys give them something to eat. He was going to demonstrate to them. Now, he was preparing them because he knew in the book of Acts that this power of God was going to be for them just as much as it was upon his life in the book, in the Gospels. They said, Jesus, we have, a couple loaves and some fish. And Jesus says, bring them to me. Now, we see in this example, the working of miracles in operation. And he takes this bread and he blesses it. Okay? Well, nothing happens. But he's now enacting the power of God into this bread. Because as soon as he breaks it, it begins to increase. Now, that's not normal. When we break and give, we decrease. To the Lord, under that operation of miracles, he breaks, gives, and increases. Doesn't make sense to the carnal mind, but it's in operation. So here are the disciples coming out of a healing meeting. They're watching cripples walk and be healed. They're seeing the deaf hear, the blind see, the mute talk. They're watching this. I mean, can you imagine them after the meeting? Hey, Peter, did you see what happened today? Did you see the guy with no eyes in the sockets, and all of a sudden eyeballs popped in? Did you hear the guy with arthritis who was all crippled over? Did you hear his bones crack and come into alignment, and then he got up and walked away? And now they're operating in the working of miracles. Peter, did you see Jesus broke the bread, and as we began to give it out, it began to increase. Oh, they were enacting the power of God onto a couple loaves and fish. Whew. Verse 22, straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship in order to go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Now, Jesus didn't have bodyguards. In fact, he's sending the bodyguards away. So you understand something about Jesus. The gift and operation of faith, which brings protection, that operation operating by his love was a wall of fire and protection around him. He didn't need bodyguards. He was the bodyguard. So he sends the disciples away. They get into a boat. And it's funny, it doesn't say that Peter's like, well, Jesus, aren't you afraid to be with the crowd? I mean, you know, they could do this to you. Now, they don't say that. They get in the boat and they obey him. So he sends them away. Now, when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain to pray. Here he's praying. When the evening was come, he was there alone. The ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves. The wind was against them. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. All of a sudden, here we have the gifts of the working of miracles. Jesus is walking. Now, he's in the power of God. He's enacting that power on the sea. And he's walking. He's doing the miraculous. He's walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a spirit. They cried out for fear. Immediately Jesus speaks unto them, says, be of good cheer. It's I, be not afraid. Now we see the operation of New Testament prophecy. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3, New Testament prophecy edifies, encourages, and comforts. Jesus is speaking a word of comfort into these disciples. He's walking on the sea in miracles. The disciples are afraid. He begins to speak prophetically. Okay? It's the spirit behind the words that makes it prophetic. It's a spirit in the words that goes into the human heart to edify, comfort, and to encourage it. Peter answered and says, Lord, if it's you, order me to come to you on the water. Jesus says, come. When Peter got down out of the ship, he walks on the water to go to Jesus. All of a sudden, now Peter is operating in the working of miracles. Just like Jesus, he enters into this operation of the gift of the working of miracles. But then when he saw the wind, blowing, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reaches out his hand, catches him, and says, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" What he was saying is, you know, little faith can move mountains. Little faith can walk on the water. As long as it's little faith operating without fear. But when you begin to have fear operating with little faith can't do it anymore. So Jesus isn't rebuking the little faith. He's saying little faith is like a seed. It can move mountains. But the rebuke is your fear. You're adding fear into your little faith, and it's not going to work for you. Okay, now, when they were come into the ship, Peter and Jesus, the wind ceased. Now, here we have a gift of faith in operation. You say, well, explain that. Well, in John chapter 6, verse 21, John tells the same story, except he says, immediately they were at the other side. There was a translation. As soon as Peter catches Jesus, puts him into the boat, all of a sudden, they're at the shore. Now, that is an operation of faith. Jesus didn't do it. The apostles didn't do it. The power of the Holy Ghost, the faith of God, moved them immediately to the other side. So these apostles, that I would have loved to have been listening to their conversation. You know, just a few hours before, we're watching the gifts of healings, angels coming down upon the Lord from the Father of lights, bringing these gifts, and people are being healed by the power of God. Then he's breaking bread and feeding a multitude, and there are baskets left over when what we started with couldn't even fill a basket. Then Jesus sends the multitude away and prays, and then he comes out walking on a storm-tossed sea. He begins to speak prophetically. Then Peter's walking on the sea himself. And then after he sinks, Jesus catches him, lifts him up, and all of a sudden, the whole boat with all the disciples are at the shore. How did that happen? It's a gift of faith. Well, as soon as he gets to the other side, the Bible says that when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all the country round about and brought to him all that had diseases. They besought him that they might touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Wow, here we have the gifts of healings in operation. These people came, and they knew that if I can get to Jesus, if I can touch his clothes, that power is in manifestation. And as many as touched him were made completely whole. So we see in Jesus' life the operation of the Holy Spirit working. And he depended upon it. In fact, when you study the Gospels, not only was he working in this power, but then you could see how the enemy would rise up in order to attack or in order to try to stop something. And through the power of the Holy Ghost, he would maneuver around the attack or the opposition. He was unstoppable. Why? Because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, that's why Paul says, hey guys, I don't want you to be ignorant of these things. You need to understand that there are operations, administrations, and there are gifts. And it's the Father working the whole operation. In our churches, we have local churches, but you know what? The body of Christ is one body. We're not divided. And there are specific assignments on churches. Depending on, you know, every minister would say, well, this is the vision the Lord has given me. Well, that vision always lines up with the Great Commission, meaning there always has to be a preaching, a developing of that local assembly in the Word of God so that they're able to go out and witness to a world that they're living in. As they're doing that, they come back in, and this operation is being built by the Father, the administration, you know, in the local house. There can't just be one person who is the gift. There's always multiple gifts if it's a healthy body. A healthy body has to have these apostolic graces, these gifts that are rising up and have input and release into that body in order to make that body strong and healthy. And in fact, the Bible says, as you read 1 Corinthians, it's the Lord that sets these gifts into the body in order to have an effect in what? That operation of God, not only globally, but in the community as well. So it's very powerful when we look at the life of Jesus and how he depended upon these operations. And he was training these men to live in these operations, to be familiar with these operations. You know, I believe on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down upon them, they knew the Holy Spirit. They knew him because they knew Jesus. You know, one day Jesus was praying, and when he had finished praying, the disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray." Why? Because the spirit of prayer was so strong upon him, they could see it. They wanted a prayer life that was so connected to the Father that it was tangible. So then Jesus begins to teach them about prayer. Well, when the Holy Ghost fell in Acts chapter 2, the outpouring of God, it wasn't something new to them. Tongues and interpretation, that was new. That was something that was added to the church for this new dispensation. But they knew the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was healing all those people, the power of the Holy Ghost was manifest. They were getting to know him. In that operation of miracles, as bread and fish, they're being divided. That power of miracles, they were getting to know the Holy Spirit. That word of prophecy that was encouraging their hearts. You know, you ever think about it? Peter, he's afraid. "Jesus, if it's you, command me." And Jesus begins, he's speaking prophetically to them. And all of a sudden, something changes in Peter's heart. He's not afraid. He's beginning to shift into faith and edification. You know, sometimes we can't operate in miracles until our heart receives a word of prophecy. Something that a simple word, the Lord speaks into our heart that goes in and brings a simple faith. So that in that purity, undivided faith, we're able to step over into miracles. Remember, small faith, little faith can move mountains. It's when we begin to add fear into it that little faith, it can't make it anymore. And many times our faith is hindered or it doesn't produce because it's not because it's little, because little faith can move mountains. It's because we've added fear into it. And that's what Jesus was rebuking. And let me tell you, if the apostles could do it, then let me tell you and I, we do it as well. They knew Jesus. They were with Jesus, and yet they still did it. And, you know, we don't have that, maybe that blessing, but we have a different blessing. The blessing is we didn't see him, but we're willing to begin to launch out in faith, begin to stamp out those fears, so that by faith, through the power of the Holy Ghost, we begin to bring his ministry into the earth. Well, in closing, I want you to study Matthew 14. Look at those operations. See that Jesus was dependent upon the Holy Spirit. And let it encourage you about your life. You know, God has wonderful things for you. He's the Father of lights. You are a light. There are assignments for your light. You ever think about that? Your light has an assignment. It has to shine in a certain place. It has things that come in that light that are released into the earth. You're a city on a hill that's not going to be hidden. So don't hide your light. Let your light shine. And that's all for this this teaching. I want to thank you for tuning in. We love you. Remember, go to our website, www.foursmiles.com. And we have more information there. You can download these notes in order to keep studying with us. Remember, we're studying the book of Acts, the gifts and the operations of God. And there's so much that God wants to impart into us. God bless you. Bye-bye.